Blog Talk Radio.
I want a Sunday kind of love, a love that lasts past Saturday night. I wanna know that it's more than love at first sight. 'Cause I want a Sunday kind of love. Somebody help me sing it. I wanna a love that's on this way. Can't seem to find somebody, someone to care. And I'm on a lonely road that leads to nowhere. I need a Sunday kind of love.
Sunday kind of love.
Oh, yeah. I do my Sunday dreaming. All my Sunday feeling, every minute, every hour, every day. Oh, I'm hoping to discover a certain kind of lover who will show me the way.
My own. Someone to enfold.
Keep me warm when Monday and Tuesdays grow cold. A love for all my life to have and to hold.
I want a Sunday kind of love.
First day of the week, all praises be to the Most High Yah. This is another edition of the Yehuda Project. I'm glad you guys joined us today. All praises be to His high and holy name. I just wanted to let someone push one to let me know you could hear me. Brother Uriah, if you could hear me, please push one so I know you can hear my voice. You know, I try not to talk loud. My phone carries it and makes me sound so loud over the radio. Thank you, Erico 828. I appreciate you. All that good stuff. All praises to His high and holy name. I enjoyed the class yesterday, as I always do. You know, I'm so excited about what's coming next, you know, especially on Thursday night. You know, Thursday night is taking a whole nother turn. It's a beautiful thing. Glad to be coming into the knowledge that we're coming into, glad for confirmation yesterday, you know, and all that good stuff. I guess I wanted to kind of talk about the news, you know, a couple of things today. The news from Brittany Griner, you know, they gave her 9 years, but now they're coming back and saying, you know, that they're willing to do talks about a trade. So hopefully, you know, she will be they will trade her for a Russian, one of the Russian prisoners that are here, that's here in the United States, and she'll be able to come on home. You know, I just think that, you know, she made a mistake, a bad one, you know, All of us have. We've all done some things we shouldn't have done, and some of us got a pass for it, and some of us didn't, you know, but I'll pray to the Most High. We have definitely been praying, you know, that she's able to come back to the United States, because I have lived in other countries, and their laws are different. The way they do things is different. Their prisons are different. Not that I've ever been to one, but I'm sure that they are different. Their jail system is different. And a word of advice to anyone that's going outside of the country, please do not go to another country doing anything illegal, ever, because it is just too problematic. You know, it's just way too problematic, and all praises to His High Holy Name. You know, so they are making efforts to, just put it right there. They're just making efforts to make sure she gets back. All right, you guys, I'm still here. Of course, my son came back just a few minutes ago. All praises to His name. And everybody, you know, we just got to be real careful in this day and time, because this is not a time to get caught anywhere outside of the United States. You know, it's just not. You know, it's just way too problematic. So, you know, we praise the name of the Most High and all that good stuff. Everybody, somebody push one. You know, last week was a serious topic. You know, we dealt with the all-out assault on black women. And I think this is an issue because we are women. You know, and it's very, very difficult to stand by and hear that. Thank you, sweetheart. Love you too. All those things that go on. Give me 1 minute, you guys. I got to lock my door. I'll be right back. Give me 1 minute. Okay. Oh, hey. I'm back. You know, as we move forward in this captivity, getting prepared to leave, you know, we have to really be careful. That we have to tell that to our military family members everywhere. Be careful when you're in another country. It is totally different laws, totally different everything. So I just wanted to make sure, you know, that was put out there like that. But last week, like I said, we were dealing with the male-female issue, especially the black woman. And I tried to handle that as diplomatically as I could under the circumstances. I think it's very important for our black men to understand, you know, that it is an all-out assault. It is. And like we said yesterday, some of these things are coming from people that are not Israel. Some of these things are coming from entities that are not human. Some of these things are coming because it's an all-out assault for some reason. And in my opinion, I think it is because the Holy Spirit is a female, and understanding who she is makes a lot of sense as to why black women are experiencing the things that they're experiencing. Now, I'm not excusing any behaviors, because, you know, when you exhibit certain behaviors, certain things are going to happen, you know, or anything of that nature. But we have to understand, you know, that we as a nation have to stick together. We have to stick together. We have to encourage one another, even in our worst day. And, you know, even to the Hebrew Israelite brothers, and I'm going to say this again over and over again to the street preachers and everybody else that's listening, if you're listening, you know, the calling names and the name calling and all the stuff, whether they're in church or out of church, that's not gonna win anybody, you know, because you were young once too, and you've done some things that was unseemingly too. So we have to always remember what we used to do before we start condemning other people, you know. And everybody's done something. Everybody has been involved in something that they felt or wore something that was inappropriate or acted a certain way that wasn't. Nobody's perfect. So now that we've come into the knowledge and we know the truth, we cannot be perfect in front of everybody else and kick everybody else because they don't know. It just doesn't work. It's never worked, you know. So, you know, it's a situation where, yes, we have to preach. Yes, we have to cry loud and spare not. But even with that, it has to be loving kindness. Because with loving kindness have I drawn thee, and that is the word. That is what the word says. So I just wanted to share that and put that out there, you know, again, you know, while we deal with these issues, because Israel is on the platform right now for the last 5 years. You know, we've been out there. We've been putting this information out there, whether it is camps on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, whatever. We've been putting stuff out there. You know, we have done all the things that Blog Talk Radio, and we are supposed to represent the Most High. We are. We're supposed to represent Yah. And when the representation that we give is turning people away, that's a dangerous situation. So, now, you know, in order for the people to say, well, I don't want to even be associated with them people, that's bad. That is really bad. So we have to really be careful. And what it's going to do is identify those people eventually it will look like you're deliberately trying to sabotage. You know, because our ultimate goal was to gather. We're supposed to gather ourselves together, O nation, not desire. So we're supposed to be gathering ourselves in the interim of things. We have to be an example. So, you know, it's very important that we understand that, because we don't ever want to put a person in a position where they feel like, you know, I just don't want to be bothered with that. You know, and a lot of people go into these camps and into these places and they have a very bad experience. And then they don't want to be bothered with Israel at all anymore. And that's what we don't want. We don't want that to happen ever. You know, so I think it's very important, you know, that we deal with that. You know, somebody asked me a question last week on multiple wives. And I'm going to open the floor up to everybody else. What do you guys think about multiple wives? And anybody can push one whenever they want to. Somebody give me an opinion on what you think about having a multiple wife over here now, right now, today, in this captivity. You know, what do you think about that? Because I'm going to say this, and I didn't get to say this last week. And you know how when you hang up, you think of things that you should have said. I'm going to say this. I'm going to put this on the record. That Bible is left on record for us as an example. It's an example of how we were to conduct ourselves in captivity and out of captivity. And it is an example of the way what the Most High approved of in captivity and out of captivity. So we have to understand that in the beginning, Adam was only supposed to have one wife. He only had one wife. He only had one. The Most High only made him one. Now, as a result of the choices of men and men doing things, they ended up with more than one wife. As an example, Abraham had one wife that was Sarah, and the Most High gave those two individuals a promise, and that they were going to have a son. And because of Sarah's disbelief, she brought Hagar into the relationship. That had nothing to do with the Most High. The Most High did not tell her to do that. That was not something he didn't disapprove of it, because Abraham had already had a child by Hagar, the Egyptian. So Ishmael was born. So this is how Ishmael got on the scene, because of Sarah's disbelief. And she tried to figure out what Yah meant when he said that. And that's what brought her on the scene. That's how he ended up with more than one wife. Now, when Hagar went away and Sarah died, he married Keturah. And Keturah gave birth to the Midianites. So that is how, but even after Hagar left and Sarah died, he only had one wife after that. Now, if somebody can prove something different, please let me know. because once he married Keturah, there was not another wife. Now, I've been studying this Bible for a long time. I just want to know that one. Now, as far as Jacob is concerned, we're going to deal with Jacob. Jacob wanted Rachel as his wife. But because of his uncle, he ended up with Leah because he claimed that it was against protocol for the younger woman, the younger daughter to marry before the older daughter. So that's how he got two. No, he actually got two plus the handmaid. And that's how the 12 tribes of Israel were born. So these are things that man has done to be able to, and the Most High, and the 12 tribes of Israel were born from those four women. They were, no doubt about it. Now, let's talk about in captivity. Because the Bible always says that you have to honor the laws of the land. So let's talk about when we're in captivity. And the example that we have on record for that is Joseph. When Joseph was in Egypt, and Potiphar named him the viceroy or the governor of Egypt, Joseph married an Egyptian woman. Now, let me say this. He got married with an Egyptian wedding because he was living in the land of Egypt. So all this stuff about, I don't want to do what the white man say, and we ain't going to have no marriage for real and no marriage certificate. Nuh-uh-uh. When Joseph was in Egypt, he married an Egyptian woman, and he had an Egyptian wedding, which was legal in the eyes of the Egyptians. So when we get married in this land, we are supposed to honor the laws of this land and legally be married. Now, all groups don't agree with multiple wives, but there are some that do. So I'm just, you know, this is just from what I've read in the scriptures. I've never even heard of the disciples having more than one wife. They just did not have more than one wife. I've never heard of the prophets having more than one wife. Now, if I'm wrong, somebody please let me know. I'm waiting on somebody to push one and let me know. But when this is something that wants to be done, they reach all the way back to Jacob and they reach all the way back to Abraham and say, see, this was allowed. No, 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 no. But I mean, you know, that's up to the individual. That's between them and Yah. I'm just talking about what the Bible says. And if you women want to deal with that, you're going to put up with that. That's on you. But legally, if he is not legally married to you, you are a glorified girlfriend wife. Just saying. According to the scriptures. Because if it was something that was done and it was a custom, it would have followed through the New Testament and Christ would have spoke on it. And if he did not speak on multiple, I have not read anywhere where he spoke on multiple wives in the New Testament. Now, if I'm wrong, please somebody tell me. Somebody push one. I'm waiting. Because I don't know. I'm looking for it. I'm going to look for it right now. I just have never seen it in the New Testament at all whatsoever. Christ has never said that. So, you know, these are the things that I meant to say last week when we were dealing with that other issue with that young lady. You know, and like I said, even when you reach back in the Old Testament, you know, yes, there are instances there. Yes, there is scriptures that deal with, you know. Now, Abraham had multiple wives. Jacob had multiple wives. King David had multiple wives. Solomon had multiple wives, and this is something that they did do. But I just have not read that in the New Testament. I have not. I have not read that. You know, so you guys be careful when you walk into these situations. They even said Moshe had multiple wives. You know? It's something that, you know, it's a very iffy, touchy subject. You know, it's something that, you know, we have to be able to understand and know what it means. And, you know, Exodus chapter 21 talks about multiple wives. It's something that we just have to be able to understand. You know, we have to be able to understand it. We really do. You know, Judges chapter 8 deals with multiple wives. Numbers 12 talks about Moshe marrying a Cushite. She was she was a Hamite, or, you know, from Ham. It's several different things. Deuteronomy chapter 21 talks about multiple wives, verses 15 through 17. And there are perimeters set for that, you know, but as you move on up, you know, as you move closer up through the scriptures, it's not mentioned in the New Testament. It's just not. Now, if you want to do that and you want to participate in that, you have to understand. Hold on. Area code 717, your mic is open. You're on the air.
I want to say Abraham and Sarah was the first to start that. That wasn't from the Most High, right? So it's not something that the Most High wanted for the children of Israel. And at the end in the New Testament, the Messiah specifically said one woman to one man. So
yes,
the thing with my spiritual daughter was that when she brought that up about the New Testament, he said we're supposed to go back to the Old Testament and to the garden, and we're supposed to follow the ways of ancient ways and not the New Testament, which made no sense. So that's how she fell for that, because he was taking her back to the ancient and dismissing what the Messiah said. So some of them don't even want to know about the Messiah. They want to stay in the Old Testament way. So my thing is, the Most High didn't even tell them to do it. So maybe Hagar brought that from her faith. I don't know. And told Sarah. I don't know, because the Most High didn't stop it, but he didn't tell them to do it. So.
And he said perimeters. You know, you are absolutely correct. And he said perimeters with it when they it was something that they did do. But even if you go back to the garden, he only made one wife for Adam. One.
Absolutely.
He did not make more than one. So, you know, that's where the issue is. We have, but you know, like I said, this is okay. You know, once we get into our land, then, and I really do believe this from the bottom of my heart, once we get into our land and the Most High he cleanses our blood, he cleanses our thoughts, our minds are changed, our language is restored back, and we start to develop as a culture, there are going to be a lot of changes that are going to be made among us as a nation. A lot of changes are going to be made. You know, and from then we will be governing ourselves. But again, when we are in captivity and we're in the land of our captivity, still living today, we have to understand and use those things in the Bible as an example. You know, and even though Joseph was promoted in the land of his captivity, he was still a slave that was captive in Egypt. So, you know, this is where it comes to legally being married. Because if you're not legally married to anyone, you can walk away at any time. And there's no repercussion. But when you're legally married, you share benefits, you share retirement, you share his name. You know, you both are entitled to marital property. There is a legal bond that makes you his other half. This stuff they're doing in the living room and stuff, healthcare is shared. All these things are shared because you are a partner. Now, some jobs allow you to do it if you live with a person, you know. But I'm just saying, according to the scriptures, Joseph got married. He had a wedding, an Egyptian wedding. And I did this show, 6-7 years ago, and it was mad people on here, men and women, arguing the point. And one of the sisters said, why would you need more than one wife? And the brother was stumped. He couldn't even answer. He was like, wow, that's a good question. Why would you need more than one? He was like, wow, that's a good question. You know, so, you know, it's and that's why we have to get to our young women, because our young women have to understand not to be led astray because of the stuff that's coming out of some of these brothers' mouths, because it's to serve their own flesh. Now, this is what Deuteronomy 21 says. It says, if verses 15, he said, if a man has two wives, and he loves one but not the other, and both bear him sons, the firstborn of the son of the wife that he does not, but the firstborn is the son of the wife he does not love. When he wills his property to his sons, he must not give the rights of the firstborn to the son of the wife he loves in preference to his actual firstborn, the son of the wife he does not love. He must acknowledge the son of his unloved wife as the firstborn by giving him a double share of all he has. That son is the first sign of his father's strength. The right of the firstborn belongs to him. So he gets into, the Most High breaks all this stuff down in the book in Deuteronomy about how he is to treat his children, how he is to treat his wives, how he is to provide for both of them. All this is in there. Because that was what we were doing then. But to be honest with you, that no man, we can't even afford one wife in this captivity. We can't do it. You know? Real talk.
And this country only allows you one wife. You can't even marry two.
Wife. Absolutely. They can't afford but one. They cannot afford but one. They cannot afford but one. That's all they can afford. You know? So it just, that's just what it is. You know? That's just what it is. That's how he expects it to be, and that's how he wants it to be. You know, it's just, that's just how the Most High has it. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. It's, you know, and unfortunately, you know, when you go back into those Exodus chapter 21, let's go in there and see what that says. Exodus 21. If you go back through those scriptures, you know, it'll be pretty made plain how it's supposed to be. But that is during the time that we were ruling our own. This was at Mount Sinai, basically. This was given at Mount Sinai, you know. So these are the things that, you know, you have to be able to study. And we have to get to our young women to know that. Now, let's see. Let me see what it says. It says now, this is a servant. His master had given him a wife, and she gave him sons. I'm going to have to get into that, but this is Exodus chapter 21 deals with it. It says that if he takes another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage, he shall not diminish. And if he do not these three unto her, then she shall go out free without money. So it's talking about if he has more than one wife, he has to be able to provide for them both. They have to have the same thing. He has to be able to split himself among both and take care of both of them equally. And most men can't afford to do that. So that's why when they get these multiple wives, they all living up in one house like harem. And it's like, no. You trying to do it the back door way. No, sir. You supposed to have enough money to provide, and they can't do it. It's not, they can't do it. They don't have the finances to do it. But that's when we're in our own land. And like you said, here, it's against the law. You know, because as far as our culture is concerned, if you want to go there one step further, if you're married and your husband dies and you guys don't have children, you got to marry his brother and bring forth a child in the name of your dead husband, so his name will stay, his seed will stay in the earth. So, you know, my thing is don't pick and choose, because that's where the problem comes in. Everybody want to pick and choose what he says, you know, and it's like, no, that's not, no. So, you know, that's just where we are with that. I just wanted to make sure that we put that out there, because I didn't get to say that last week when we were talking about the situation from the other young lady that was on the call. And these young women are young. They in their early 20s, and that's why we was telling her last week, you know, when you legally marry for the first time, it is supposed to be a joyous occasion. Your families are supposed to be there. It's supposed to be planned. It's supposed to be something special. It's supposed to be something beautiful. You ain't supposed to sneak nowhere in the dark and do no stuff like that. That right there lets you know something is wrong. So, and that's in Deuteronomy 25. It says, if brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. This is Deuteronomy 5 through 10. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duties of a brother-in-law to her. The first son she bears shall carry on the name of the dead brother so that his name will not be blotted out from Israel. However, if a man does not want to marry his brother's wife, she shall go to the elders at the town gate and say, my husband's brother refuses to carry on his brother's name in Israel. He will not fulfill the duties of his of a brother-in-law to me. Then the elders of the town shall summon him and talk to him. If he persists in saying, I do not want to marry her, his brother's widow shall go up to him in the presence of the elder, take off one of his sandals, spit in his face and say, this is what is done to a man who will not build up his brother's family line. That man's line shall be known in Israel as the family of the unsandaled. So see, nobody talks about that part. They don't want to talk about that part. So, you know, that's all I'm saying. Don't nobody want to talk about that part. You know, so that's why it's important to be able to know what the customs are. When we get in our land, will those customs be applied? Yes. But right now, no. Half of us don't even know we Israel. No. Half of us don't even know we Israel. So, you know, we have to be able to understand that and explain that to our children. That's why, you know, I tell my son and all of my daughters, you know, we came into this, you know, knowing that we were a part of the royal house. However, to get into the extent and the detail of it, start training your sons while they're little. Start while their mind is fresh and it's like a sponge and it absorbs everything. Start teaching them, telling them bedtime stories about Abraham, about Isaac, about Jacob. Start talking to them at 2 and 3, you know, who Yah is and, you know, what his name is and then call on him and all kinds. Because they'll absorb it. They know it. That's why when they get in kindergarten now, they're teaching them multiple languages. Because they're ready to absorb all that information. You know, my oldest son's wife, she was Spanish. And her grandmother would teach the newborn children when they were young and like 3 and 4 learning how to talk. She would teach them both languages at the same time. I'm like, wow. But don't wait till they get an adult. And sometimes we don't have a choice. But while they little, put this information in them. Because we already got to deprogram them when they come back from the schools. We got to deprogram them then. You know, put the information in them because they'll absorb it like a sponge. They really will. But these are our cultures. These are the things that who we are and what the Most High has done for us. We are a royal people. We are a wealthy people. That's why we leave in here with great substance. We leave in here with wealth. Because he's restoring us back to a wealthy people. And the only reason why we broke down poor and pitiful today is because of our disobedience. We were disobedient. But we are wealthy people. We have to think like that, you know, with humility. So, sis, do you have any other questions? Anybody else that want to push one, please feel free to do so. Do you have any other questions about anything that you would like to ask? No. Because these are things that are important. You know, these are things that are important to know. You know, we have to be able to understand who we are, you know, and because we're waking up in such massive droves and different, you know, all over the world, you know, we're not doing this for the world to take notice. We're doing this so that we know. But however, it is causing, you know, some questions to be asked, you know, but that's not our issue. Our issue, he told us to gather ourselves. You know, that's why I don't spend a lot of time condemning other nations. That's not my job. He didn't tell me to do that. He told us to gather ourselves and be ready when he comes and have faith that he's coming and know that we're leaving the lands of our captivity. And he's going to be the one to do it. He's going to set it up. He's going to organize it. He is. And he does it the same old way. He's going to use man. However he chooses to do it, the same way he used Moshe, he's going to use man to do it again. He's just going to show up and do what he do to make sure it gets done and nobody's going to stop it. But man is going to be used in order to make it happen. You know, some people were thinking that because the Bible talks about the rapture, that they were going to use that's how we were getting out of here, that there are some camps teaching that we're going to rapture out, that he's going to catch us up on spaceships and move us out. I've heard people say that. Now, this may sound a little strange, and I don't mean it for it to sound strange, but me personally, I believe he's coming by boat. I mean, I think we're going to be leaving the same way we came. Now, if he does do it something like that supernatural, however he chooses to do it, that's y'all's job. It's not mine to try to figure out. But that's not the rapture. I don't believe that that's the rapture. Because what they consider the catching away to be, that's going to... excuse me. That's going to happen at the end. But our going home, that's going to be something miraculous as well. Because anytime you push a million people out of a country, that's some big stuff going on. So, you know, however he chooses to do it, my prayer is that I participate in it and that I'm around when it happens, because I want to be able to see that with my own eyes, walk up on the boat with my own two legs and be prepared to leave with my own self. That's, I'm just serious about that. You know, all praises be to the Most High, with my own self and doing my own thing. So that is extremely important to me. You know, I don't have to figure everything out. I don't have to know all the answers. I just want to be ready when the time comes for us to get up out of here. And that's real talk, you know, to be able to go home. I mean, and a lot of people, you know, a lot of people are afraid of this topic. They're like, going where? Where are we going? We've gotten so comfortable and assimilated into this society that, you know, they have more black people on TV now in high places than ever. I mean, for real. And it's like, wow, you know, all that's nice and it's all well and good. But at the end of the day, you know, we're preparing ourselves to go back to our Elohim. That's what we're doing. We're preparing ourselves to go back to our Elohim. You know. And that's what the position is, and that's what it'll always be. It's never going to be about, you know, the how you treat us here, what you give us here. You know, it's time for us to get ready to go home. Now, we know that. You know, and we appreciate, you know, we don't even appreciate the effort, because there's been a lot of efforts done. You know, all praises be to the Most High Yah that He has made a way for us since we have been here. But it's time for us to go home, you know. And I think about that conversation that we had, Sister Couture and I had, with the couple from the Gentile couple that was at the Washington, D.C. 2019 Day of Repentance prayer. And she just asked me, and it was just really weird that she asked me that question. She says, well, what do you all want? I said, we want to go home. We've been here long enough. We've been here for 400 years. You can't keep us forever. And the look on her face, I will never forget. The lady looked terrified, like, oh, my God. She really did. She looked terrified. You know, but, I mean, that's common for anyone that's outside of their land. And then her husband came back with, well, you can't go to Jerusalem because it's all. I said, we don't have to go to Jerusalem. The land of Canaan is huge. He said, yeah, that's true. It is. We can go anywhere on the land of Canaan and still be home. But we want to go home. You know, and what that means, I don't know what the Most High has in store for us. I get questions from people like, are we going to live in tents like we did before? Are we going to have houses? You know, being the fact that society has changed the way it does with this wealth, will we have cars? Will we be able to live a certain way? How are we going to live? And I'm like, I don't have all those answers. I know one thing, society is not going to change just because we go home. We're not going back to the camel ride just because we're going home. People are driving cars. They're driving trucks. They're driving all kind of stuff. So even though, you know, we're going back to our land, the land has changed. So, yes, we're going to have great wealth to have whatever we need to have. You know, I get all kind of questions. People ask all kind of stuff. And I'm like, just let's get there first, you know. Well, how are we going to govern ourselves? Or, you know, how are we going to live? Will we be in houses with air conditioners? I don't know. I have no idea. But I just want to get there. I want to see the Mediterranean Sea. I want to be on a boat and see this land in my distant rear. You know, and when the time comes, when He say it's time. You know, so it's just, those are the things. And, you know, to leave with great wealth, what does that mean? You know, will we still be a part of this monetary society? I'm sure we will. As long as there's paperback dollars and we're going to have gold and silver and all kind of credit and all kind of stuff, we'll have the things we need to bring us back up to a royal standard. Because we're royalty. And that can't be dismissed. You know, the royal house of King Dawi, we are here in this captivity. And that can't be excused or dismissed. Living like paupers. You know, so we will be here. We will have the things that we need to have because we're His representation on the earth. You know, will we interfere in any governmental stuff? No, because the Gentile is still in control. They are until the time of the Gentile be fulfilled. They still have access to things. We will just be tucked away to the point where we will not be a part of are owned by anyone but Yah, from what I read. Now, and you think about that, having a sovereign group of people just set to the side and having them placed over here. And that's why when Ezekiel 39 said that the Most High is going to charge Russia to protect us and all the other nations to protect us, and that how he's going to use them, you know, to be a guard to us, you know, that's what, now you can understand why. You know? And do those kind of things. Absolutely. So it's very, very necessary. And I think that's Ezekiel chapter 38, not 39. You know, where he's going to be a guard to us and protect us. Because why else would we need protection? Why? Because we're living a separate and apart from all the other nations by ourselves. Living among ourselves. So that no one can come in and try to take us back or to take what we have or to come up against us. Because we're going to dwell safely. That's what he says. It says after Ezekiel 38:8, after many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into a land that is brought back from the sword. So there's going to be a war. And is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. So he's talking about Israel. And it says, thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Most High, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. That's what it's going to be called, the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest and that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. So we ain't going to have no guards there. We're not going to have no bars around us. We're not going to have no gates to shut in. We're going to be right there out in the open, and we're going to be living. And he said, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thy hand upon the desolate place that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. And Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Have thou gathered thy company to take a prey? To carry away silver and gold, we're going to have all that. To take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil. And here's the answer of who those people are. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto God, thus saith the Most High Elohim, in that day when my people of Israel dwell safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north part, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon a horse. Horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land, and it shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know when I shall be sanctified in thee, O God, before their eyes. So he's going to set us out there in the open. Just like God. He's going to set us right there out in the open. Where it looked like we just living, and you know what I'm saying? They going to think that ain't nobody covering us, and ain't nobody with us, and they going to come against us so that he can show out in front of the heat. They going to know he's our Elohim at that point. But we going to be dwelling in our land, on our land. We're not going to be on the south side of Chicago. We're not going to be in Detroit, Michigan. We're not going to be in Tennessee. We're not going to be in New York. We're not going to live in New Jersey and Pennsylvania and Philadelphia and Ohio and Cincinnati and Louisville, Kentucky and Atlanta, Georgia. We won't be in those places. That's what scares people. It's an adventure to me. And I'm older than some people on this line. It's a great adventure to me to be able to do that and just go and start over again. I have a lot of questions too. But again, I trust y'all. You know, I think about the same thing. Ain't going to be no more grocery stores and me. You got to do your own stuff. You know, unless we're going to be put somewhere where we're going to be able to buy from somebody. But if we're going to have our own cattle and our own goods and our own stock, we ain't going to be able to do that. You know. Going to be a different mindset. And thank God we are. Thank to the Most High we are. You know? It's a lot. But we got, this is what we have to look forward to. And I have even heard some of the other people who are professing to be us try to explain this prophecy. And it's like, no. You know? So it is what it is, you know. But we will be there and we will be tucked away until the Most High is finished, until the time of the Gentile is fulfilled. It's just, that's just how it is. You know, and we will not be bothering them and what they're doing. And it says, let me see what it says. It says, thus saith the Most High Elohim, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old times by my prophets, my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time, when Gog shall come up against the land of Israel, saith the Most High, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great quaking in the land of Israel. It's going to be something else. It's going to be something else. And the world going to know that we his people. It's going to be an interesting thing. I'm telling you, it is not no joke. It is something to see. Like he said, you think I showed out at, when I brought him out of Egypt the first time, I'm really finna show out this time. You know, so it is what it is. There's nothing you can do about that. There's nothing we can do about that. We have to really, you know, embrace it and be excited about it, you know. And the questions that we don't know, they'll get answered. It's like getting on a boat and really don't know where you're going. It's like, well, where are we going home? All we need to know is we on our way home. Just like the children of Israel left Egypt. They just knew they was going into the wilderness. They had no idea what that meant, what that involved. They had no idea the Red Sea was going to split open and they was going to walk across on dry land. They had no idea. And it's the same situation now. We have no idea what he has in store for us. But we're not going to want for nothing. No more food stamps, y'all. No more Social Security checks. No more 401ks. No more none of that. No more mortgages. No more none of that stuff. No more of it. No more car notes. No more car insurance. No more health insurance. No more of it. Just what is, that's our hope. And what a hope we have to look forward to. No other nation can say that. It's not a nation on this earth. And that's where everybody gets angry with us about, because they can't say it. They want to inject themselves in it. Well, we're part of it too. Well, where do we fit in at? You don't. Not for this. This is strictly between us and our Elohim. You don't fit in this part. Because you didn't go through the, and everybody wants the reward, but nobody wants to go through the chastisement. You know. It's something, I'm telling you, to be able to see this. This is just miraculous. These are the things that movies are made out of. You know, now Cecil B. DeMille did a wonderful thing with the Ten Commandments back in the day. How he split that Red Sea, I still don't know how he did that bad boy, but he did. And I've seen some people try to duplicate it. I ain't seen it done like that yet. I'm serious. You know, but we're going to see it for real up close. It's going to happen to us for real. We're going to identify with it for real. We're going to see our Elohim do some great things in front of our eyes, like, wow, real, you know, and we ain't even seen nothing yet, and we already come on, wow, we to wowing over the word, we ain't even seen nothing with our eyes yet, you're going to be looking like, wow, that is powerful, all praises to the Most High Yah. You know, but that's how he set it up for us, that when, if you can trust him, even if you can't, he still said ain't not one going to be left behind. He's not leaving one in those lands. Not one. You don't even have a choice. You know, you don't have no choice about, you know, you coming. If you his, you coming. And I think about that. I was thinking the other day, I said, now, I've seen our children be adopted out to Gentile couples. I've seen our children be adopted out to same-sex couples of the other nations. I've seen our children be adopted out to basically anyone. I wonder how he's going to do that. And I'm like, well, however he do it, he's going to do it, because he said he wasn't leaving one behind. You know, and some people are going to be missing children because they can't keep them. They're not allowed to. You know, and that is going to be a something miraculous, because they're not going to be able to keep those children. If he said not one would be left in those lands, and don't matter how small they are, from the infant to the toddler, they're coming if they belong to him. You know, when you start really putting a movement like that together in your mind, you'll be like, wow, that's going to be something. I mean, from the elderly person to the infant, to the young people, everybody. Only an Elohim could do that. Only he could do something like that. You know, and you wonder, like, how is he going to organize all those people? And how has he got, I mean, you know, you, those are the things I think about. Like, well, how in the world is he going to organize all them people? And where is he going to put all the babies? And who's going to watch the babies and the toddlers and the old people that's on wheelchairs and motor scooters and walkers and canes and all that? Well, how? Just all the nursing homes going to be cleaned out. You know, that's something else. I mean, that's something else. That's bigger than me. I don't even, I'm like, man, I mean, that's something else, totally something else. And then somebody brought up the dead. I said, well, you know, that's the valley of the dry bones. I don't even get ready to touch that. I don't even, my brain, I can't, I'm not going. No. What that means and how that operates, I'm not even going to be able to do. I'm not going there. I'm just going to deal with the living. I'm not going to handle the dead. I don't know. You know? Just moving up from America. Because that's where we have to go first. Because we did the 400 years. We have to go first. How do you move so many people like that? But it's got to be him. If he said it, like this lady told me, she said, if he said it before you die, you will get it before you leave this earth. She said, if he promised you something, you will receive it before you leave this earth. And that's when you realize that, you know, we dealing with something, we dealing with an Elohim that is, he is the mastermind of all minds. You can't even figure it out. He already got it figured out. He's not planning it as we go along. It was written from the beginning, so it's already figured out. All he has to, when the time comes, he just initiates the plan. All right, put it in motion. Everybody's already in place, and whoever it is going to, who's going to organize this is going to step up and get instructions from him, just like he did with Moshe, and go here, go in and do this and this and this and this. Can you imagine how Moshe and Aaron them felt? When they went, it was one thing to go to Pharaoh and say, you know, y'all said, let my people go. And, you know, they walked in and laughed them out, and they seen the miraculous signs, and they seen all that. That was miraculous. But on the morning, when they got ready to leave, can you imagine what they felt like when they was leading the way and looked back and seen all them millions of people? Massive. It's a some big boy stuff right here. It's like, wow. Woo. Massive. Yes, I mean, it's something else. And guess what? It was what? They said it was an estimated maybe 2 million people. 70 souls walked in and maybe 2 million came out. You're talking about millions upon millions upon millions of people in America. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's an exciting moment. That's why you keep your nose clean. You stay out of trouble and you wait on Yah and you trust him. And you do what you got to do. And you keep his law, statutes, and commandments. And you pray and you trust him. You know? Like I said, it's not our job to explain to the other people, you know, why, where they fit or how they fit. This is their moment right now. The Gentile has control. The Gentile is given charge. And like I said before, each one of Noah's sons are going to have a chance to rule the earth. Each one of his sons. Ham was first. Japheth is now. And Shem will be last. I have a chance to rule the earth while this earth is rolling today. He is. You know? And Shem's God is the one who, Shem's God is the one who took over, who set this thing up in motion in the first place. Shem's God is God. That's why they come up with this stuff in Christianity, like Abraham first met God when he said, Abraham, go. No. They knew who that God was back in Noah's day. I'm going to prove that. It's Genesis chapter 9. And then, you know, he Genesis 9:26, and he said, blessed be the Elohim, the Most High Elohim of Shem. So they knew who Most High that he was Shem's Elohim. And Shem's Elohim is our Elohim. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, it is. So, you know, and it's our Shem is the last one, the last son that will rule the earth. And that is our time. That is when the Messiah comes back and sets up his kingdom after the time of the Gentile be fulfilled. Yes, indeed. This is some serious stuff. Abraham knew. He knew. They knew. They knew. Abraham knew who Shem. Shem was his forefather. It was his great-great-great-grandfather. The stories was told. You think them stories wasn't handed down? Yes, they was. You know, so we learning something. Like Brother Bowie said, you learning something on your way to learning something. And that is the truth. For real, that's the truth. And there was no lie about that there. So we just beginning to understand what the book is all. The book is powerful. Everybody's know it's been tampered with. They can do whatever they want to do with it. And every time they switch a word around, he'll switch it back. Because it's going to mean what it say, and it's going to say what it means. And I ain't never heard of nobody write a book and to trick other people and to write in their own demise. I don't never know nobody, no nation that's going to write a book that's going to tell about how they going into slavery and how they going to be killed. I ain't never heard of that. Mm-mm. No. So, you know, whatever they tried to do, it didn't get done because that book is powerful all by itself. You just have to read it. And I was thinking today how much when in Christianity, how much we relied on these pastors and we listened to every word that came out of their mouth over the pulpit when they really wasn't talking about nothing. Nothing. Not nothing. And now when you look back on it, you be like, this was just a big old waste of time. You know? But that's where we were mentally. But now that we know better, we do better. When you know better, when you learn better, you do better. You do. You got to do better. You got to do what he say. When you know better, you do better. He said, you men got to be circumcised, get circumcised. all this is circumcision in the heart. No, it's in the flesh too. So for you sisters that's out there that's having baby boys, make sure they circumcise. That is the covenant. Now, we may not be able to do it on the eighth day when we do it in our own, when we're in our own land and we have control over that. We don't have control over that here. But they do offer it, so make sure it's done. Circumcise your babies. Circumcise them boys and make sure they're in covenant. You know? My daughter said she seen a rainbow the other day. She said that was the most beautiful rainbow I have ever seen. I said that's the covenant he made with Noah. That's the covenant he made with Noah, that he would look on the rainbow and remember that it would never be by water anymore, but by fire next time. You know, that's real talk. That's what it say. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, Yah's word is out there. That's also in Genesis chapter 9. He says that. He said, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. That's the token of the covenant so that he could remember. He said, and with every living creature that is with you of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, I will establish my covenant with you, that he's talking about Noah, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the water of a flood, neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And Yah said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generation. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I will remember the everlasting covenant between Yah and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And you know what? I've heard all kind of scientists try to explain it. They talking about his gases and his covers and pleas. Go sit down, so you still can't explain. You can't handle this God right here. Can't do it. And from what we learned yesterday in class, now we understand why. Now we understand why they manipulating the food, why they trying to change the seeds, why they trying to manipulate the birth of animals coming in. They trying to clone them instead of birthing them. Now we understand why they trying to go to the sun and black out the sun. We understand all that now, don't we? Make it sense. It all is beginning to make sense. Wow. You know? Mm-hmm. Crucial. It is crucial. We understand it now. And he said, with all thy getting, get an understanding. We got it. We get it, y'all. We do. We get it. We get it. You know, so as we move closer and we do what we got to do, we prepare to be able to move out when he say it is. When it's time to go, we leaving. So I just wanted to say that. Anybody else have anything you want to talk about, please feel free to push one. You know, but I just wanted to make sure we had that on the record. We have a lot to be excited about. You know, that's why we don't spend time giving our young people that revenge factor. Yeah, we going to get them. Yeah, it's over. We don't do all that. Because that's, yeah, he said, vengeance is mine. And whatever's right, I'll pay. He said, what did he say? He said, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hand of the Almighty Yah. We don't get into that over here in the nation of Yehuda. We talk about the good stuff, the stuff, because he's going to take care of whatever he said he's going to do, he's going to do. Because he did it to us. He got us. When he told us he was going to get us, we didn't believe that either. But we sitting in these lands over here without a country, without a language and without our Elohim to the magnitude that we should have had him. So he said he's going to take care of the rest of them. He's going to take care of them too. Our job is to be obedient now so that we don't have to ever go through this again. No, no. We ain't been through too much. Like, no. You know, when we realized we was royalty, and now we got to sit back and watch other nations and their families, and no. No. You know, when you looking at princess this person and princess that person, and that's your name. You know, when they call me Princess Jaina, that's my name. And I'm sitting over here, listen, even though it's in my blood, I'm like, okay, I'm one, but okay. You know, it's hard. It's a hard thing. You know, the whole tribe is royal. And some, I'm telling you. You know, it's just something. It's a rude awakening. It's a serious eye-opener. It lets you know it ain't balanced for sure. You know, but you have to deal with it because this is where you are. This is where you live and this is what you did. So we have to be able to go through it. Now that we're at the end, it's getting rough because we're like, okay, we're ready to go. And he's like, I know you're ready to go, but you got to see a little bit more. Just stay a little while longer. I just want you to see. You know, so. And he said, okay. We still ready to go. He said, I know you're ready to go, but you got to hold on just a while. I'm coming to get you out. My word ain't going to go, but come back, boy. But just have patience. Trust me, because I ain't going to let nothing happen to you, but you got to wait on me. And we've been saying, we done seen enough. We ready to go. I know you're ready to go, but you got to see a little more, because I want to make sure you don't never want to disobey me again. Anybody push one, please feel free to do that if you want to. I just be talking and talking. I can talk about y'all all day long. And this word all day long. You know, but he said, I know you want to leave. We want to leave. I ain't finished gathering them yet. I know you do, but I still got to do something with Pookie and Ray Ray and them. I got to work on them. I'm getting them together. I got to get everybody. I got to make sure that we get, it's got to be organized. I got to make sure, you know, they got to wake up just like you did. I got to go into churches. I got to get the ones that's mine out to churches. I got to bring them out. Everybody ain't leaving the black church. The black church is not going to dissolve because some of them people that's in the black church is not Israel. They're not. Just all our skin folk ain't our kinfolk. You know? So, we dealing with a lot of different things that we learned yesterday in the church. That ain't going to change nothing. They're going to still be shouting and speaking in tongues and running. But those that belong to Yah, it won't be there. It won't. You know, all that's going to come to a cease. It's over. There won't be no more denomination or nothing. But like I said, we're going to a place in a city of unwalled villages where it's just going to be us and our Elohim. And we're going to have what we need. There ain't going to be no more garment districts and diamond districts and all that kind of stuff. We're going to have everything we need. You know? That's just what the scripture, that's what the words say. You know, so we got to be able to be prepared for this thing. I'm excited. Anybody else excited? Anybody? Are you waiting on him? If you are, you know, you can still let me know. You excited? You ready to go? You got the stuff packed? You know? can we take something with us on the journey? I don't know that. I can't answer that. I hope so, because I got a whole duffel bag ready to on my shoulder, go up on my shoulder. I do, not that I'm going to need it, because he going to provide us with everything we need. I don't even think we're going to be able to carry nothing from this place into there. I just really don't believe so. Because even when you go to another country in customs, you're not allowed to bring certain foods and stuff into other countries. You have to throw that stuff in the garbage when you go through customs. So, you know, it's probably the same thing. I got everything you need. And when I feed you, it ain't going to be contaminated. When I give it to you, it's going to have seeds in it, like I set it out to be. When you eat the meat that I give you, the cattle ain't going to be contaminated with all the stuff, and the soil ain't going to be contaminated. So when you pick off of these trees, these trees is going to be the ones I had for you initially. You're going to know what an apple really tastes like and what a pear tastes like and what grapes really supposed to taste like. You're going to know what fresh water tastes like. It's going to be a whole different life. No? Shoot, there's so much stuff to look forward to. Listen, that's a whole nother new, that's a new beginning. A totally new beginning. You know, and people carjacking and killing folks over cars and stuff and all that old crazy stuff. We don't engage. That's why you pray before you leave your house. You know, let the Most High cover you and protect you. Because, you know, they can have all that. When the time comes, you're going to park all of it. It's going to be just like the Ukrainian people. Only problem is it ain't going to be no war, I don't believe, when we leaving up out of here. You're going to park it and this is where it's going to be at. Everything is going to be there. All the water you done stored up and food is going to be in your house for whoever move in it, because you will never, this is a one-way ticket. People tell me, do I have to get a passport? Nope, because you ain't coming back. This is a one-way ticket. There'll be no passport. You ain't gonna belong to no country. How about that? Passport to go where? Ain't nobody gonna own you. They gonna protect you, but ain't nobody gonna own you. That's powerful within itself. How many people you know like that that's living in this world? Everybody it can identify with one country or another. Ain't nobody gonna own you. Some powerful stuff. You know, that is some powerful stuff, I'm telling y'all. Like the brother said, you know, I what he saw, he said, I just saw ships. It was just ships. Every time you turn around, it was ships coming in and out. More of the ships. And you know what? We've had 1,700 people, Christian people, listen to this Christian prophet that has made the declaration that he has made. The confirmation that he made. You see, there's ships on top of ships. Every time one ship fill up, another ship was rolling in to fill up. Just ships on top of ships just leaving. The United States. There ain't going to be a dry eye in the play. One day it's going to be our last transmission on air. It is. We're going to say that one day. We're going to be like, well, y'all, this is the last time you'll hear our voice on this radio show. And we have done our job. And all praises be to the Most High. And from everybody meet us on the shore such and such in the morning. And that's going to be the last time we do. This is deep, y'all. I'm serious. Like, wow. We won't see you no more. Whoever, all our colleagues that we work with, that we have spent years and years with, it has been a pleasure. We are gone. And you think about it, the people on your job, like, are you one of the Israelites? Are you leaving? Did you set up, you know, Brother Uriah is leaving us. He won't be here anymore. Are you gone? Brother Uriah can hear him now, like, yes, I am. I'm packing my stuff. Yes, I am. Oh, my God. I mean, it's saying goodbye. That's how they did. Hold on. Area code. Area code 720. Your mic is open. You on the air.
Oh, I just wanted to say I saw that video, and it just excited me. I had to watch it more than once or twice. Because
I know you did.
I'm telling you, I was ready yesterday. And, you know, actually, I cannot wait to get out of all this confusion and all this hatred and this demonic activity. It's like, I cannot wait. I will say that I'm concerned about my family and hope that when the time comes that they're ready to cut out of here with me. And I'm not sure that that's the case right now, because some are caught up in church, and of course your children have their little activities, and they think that this thing is going to go on forever. And it's hard to break it to them that this is not going to go on much longer. It can't. I mean, our kingdom is getting ready to come into play, and I don't think that they get it. And I'm not sure that they want to get it because they want this. And you can't get them to wrap their head around what we have coming is so much better, is so much more grander, and we will be in our rightful place, in our rightful kingdom. So it just excites me just to talk about it. But just wanted to put in my two cents there.
I appreciate that. You know, he said not one would be left. Not one. He said, I'm not leaving one in those lands. Not one would be left. And he mean that. They ain't going to be left either, sis. You ain't going to have to worry about them. They not. They, I don't know whether he going to wake them up at the very end or what, how he's going to do it, but not one will be left in those lands, and he mean that. Nah. That's why I said, that's why we be like, we ready to go. He said, I know you ready to go, but I ain't finished yet. So not one is going to be left.
So I'm glad to hear it, let me tell you, because there's some stubborn ones out there. And, I mean, I hate to leave them, but if the Most High calls us to come on, I'm going to have to do it.
Right. Yes, honey, not one will be left. Everybody's coming. That's why I said, when you have people who have adopted children, you know, babies, because they couldn't have children of their own, and they have been given children of Israel, the children of Israel, you know, when you deal with that and you understand that, you understand that when he said not one would be left, that's what he means. You know? Somebody's child going to be missing because they can't stay. And that's going to be serious, you know?
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, how we need that peace as we're making that journey to the next place, the peace of knowing that our family, they're okay. And I know the Most High would consider that for us.
Absolutely. You know. It's just serious business. You know, we got to be able to understand that. That's what it is. He said Ezekiel 39 and 28. That's what the scripture is, 39 and 28. Let's go to where it say. He says, then shall they know that I am the Most High their Elohim, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them unto their own land and have left none of them any more there. Nobody's going to be left. None of them. When he said none of them any more there, that means none mean none. It means none. It ain't going to be none left. None.
I'm telling you, our Yah is just so wonderful. When you say that, I think how considerate he is and how loving he is to know that there are those who we love who are not awakened yet. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, but think about it. Children going to come up missing. Old people going to come up missing in nursing homes. If they identify as Israel, they gone.
Absolutely.
You know, wonderful. Gone. Church members. You know, them big hats and all, they won't be Miss Mama so-and-so ain't going to be there no more. Gone. It's over. That's how he is. And when he say none, he mean none. None mean none. So, you know, it's gonna be an amazing day, you know, because what's different between us and back then, they were all in one space. Everybody knew who they were. They were living in the land of Goshen. You know, there was an agreement between Moshe and the government, and everything was set in motion. So they all left from the same location, but we're scattered in this country. We're, like I said, we're living among different people. Some white families have black children. Some homosexual families, which I have seen, both male and female, have black children. I mean, it was a thing in Hollywood to have a black child. I mean, because these are children that they have adopted, you know, and some of them are from here and some of them are from other nations. But for the ones that are from here that have been, that are being raised by other nations and other families, they're going to be gone. It's going to be something. It really is. It's going to be some kind of day. It really is. They got to give it up. He said, I'm taking my people back. He said, I'm taking all my people back. No more will you serve yourselves of them. No more will you rejoice at their calamities. No more. That's the scripture. That's what we read. Baruch chapter 4. When we read that, he said, miserable are the cities that have, you know, that they have laughed at your demise. They have joked about the things that you have gone through. But miserable will they be once this thing is over with. This ain't gonna be like everybody think. And it's going to be some people that are still left here. It's going to be some people of color that are still left here that are not Israel, because your lineage and your nationality is determined by the lineage of your father. Now, if you have a mother that's Israel and you are keeping his laws, statutes, and commandments, we believe that the Most High gave us that scripture that says he's going to make room for you. He's going to make room for you. You'll be there. You know, but, you know, and however he chooses to do that, he going to do what's right. You know, but, the other way around, you know you Israel, you can't stay here. You're not even going to be allowed to.
That's right. And I have to say, I will be crying, but it will be tears of joy.
It won't be a dry eye in the place. It's not one. Everybody going to be crying, men and women. It's gonna be a dry. It won't be a dry eye on the boat.
Well, I'm not sure we're all gonna be crying about the same thing, but mine will be tears of joy.
Yes, ma'am. I'll be right with you. Everybody was like, thank you. This is over. Woo. But you know, and like I said, over from being on the bottom. Because when he said you're gonna leave with great substance, that's what he means. And everybody talking about where they going to get the money from. You don't know what Yah has in store for us. You don't know what he has hid.
That's right.
You don't know where he got it from. You don't know where it's coming from.
Well, I was watching a video on YouTube about a lot of gold that they found in Africa. And, I mean, they were bringing it out by the tons. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, the Most High has stuff hidden that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
And it belongs to us.
And when he say great substance, that's what he means. And your idea of great and his idea of great is two different things. Trust me when I tell you. You know, we just have no idea what we have. He said, eyes haven't seen nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man what Yah has in store for his people. He said, it ain't even entered into your heart. What I got in store for you. You can't even begin to imagine what it's going to be like. You know? It's a lifestyle that we've never lived. It's a wealth that we don't even understand. You know? It's a status that we've never experienced. Real talk. You like, well, how do you do that? I ask him all the time, like, how do I live like a princess? You know, how do I do that? I've never done that in my life. You know, it's always been a struggle or a hustle or education or this or that, living in this society. How do I live like a princess? I mean, I feel like one down on the inside, but I've never lived like that.
Yep. It's going to be different because we've always had to jump through hoops.
Yeah. Yeah, we have always had to jump through hoops for somebody else.
Yep. A life of survival.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what we've had.
Yes, we have. Well, you better say that again. Yes, ma'am. So how do you go from that to being royalty? How do you, even though it's in your blood and it's running deep in my blood, and even though we have that in our blood, how do you live like that? I've never lived like that in my whole life. I don't even know. I've never had a servant. I don't know what it is to have somebody wait on me and make sure everything I have is taken care of and all my needs are met. I don't even know what that feels like.
Neither.
Shoot. Like, you know, when you just really start to think about it, it's something that is it can really be overwhelming. That's why I just try to say, okay, let me just calm down. You know, and really see what that means, you know, what that really entails.
Right.
Wealth. unmeasurable wealth. Poor no more. I don't know if that's life. No. You eating the best of every. You got the best of everything now. You went from shopping on the sale rack to having the best of the best. No, I don't know what that is. I really don't know what that is. It brings tears in my eyes because I don't know how to do that. I'm gonna be honest. And you know, I remember a long time ago, I got a prophecy a long time ago from my friend. He's no longer with us. And he told me, he said, the Most High is going to bless you with this house and it's going to be beautiful. He even told me what color it is. And I walked in it one day, went in with the real estate man. Beautiful home. When I tell you something beautiful, obstruct beautiful, I mean the doors beautiful. You walk through there, the staircase is winding up around, you know, and you, I mean beautiful. I think this house was 15,000 square feet. I mean beautiful. In-ground heated swimming pool on acres and acres and acres of land, and I just wanted to see what it looked like on the inside. And when I went in, I felt like I was supposed to be there, but at the same time, I didn't know what to do. And I was looking at the real estate man like, I don't even know how to live like this. I have never lived like this in my life. I don't even know where to start. He was like, don't worry about it. When you get it, we'll show you how. I said, I wouldn't even know where to call a servant to come in there. And I... I wouldn't know any of it. He was like, we'll help you. Don't worry about it. We'll help you. I'm like, Lord Jesus. I mean, beautiful home.
Wow.
And guess what? The reality is people live like that every day.
Yep, yep. Diana, it will pale in comparison to what
yes.
you will actually have.
Yes.
As
yes.
grand as it all was, it will pale in comparison to what the Most High has for us. So get used to it. You got to have to do some fast learning.
Oh, gosh, you talking about baptized by fire. You're like, well, wait a minute. What do I do? You know, like, oh, my goodness. You know, what is it like to have your own private plane and can just pull? It's people living like that. But guess what? We will, too, one day.
Yep, and have your bags packed. Have your bags packed whenever you decide you want to go somewhere. They'll do all
yes.
the packing. All you got to do is step on your private jet.
That's it.
I'm ready.
You,
I am so ready.
We watch it on TV, but we ain't did that. Now, if some people, now let me say that, everybody ain't broke. Now, some of us, it's a small group of us that have that ability to be able to do that. But I'm talking about from a nation standpoint.
Right, yes.
He said we was leaving with great substance. And like I said, his idea of great and your idea of great is two totally different things. It is. So get ready, everybody that's listening to me under the sound of our voice. Get ready to be able to step into that motion and be able to live just like that. You know, appreciate the houses and the places where we live today. Like she said, it's going to pale in comparison as to what he has in store for his people. And on that note, we have a, where's Brother Uriah? Brother Uriah, you want to make the announcement? If you would, push one, and I'll let you make the announcement again, please. We have a new moon ceremony. Go ahead, Brother Uriah.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we will be celebrating the new moon on August the 10th at 8:30 p.m. sharp. That's when we celebrate the new month coming in. We do no buying and selling for 24 hours. From sundown to sundown, we get together and we blow the shofar and we read scripture and we return 24 hours later to close it out. Hope to see you there.
Yeah, all right, yes, sir. On August the 10th at 8:30 p.m., call in on our class, the scripture class for the Sabbath. So we'll be the number you use for our Sabbath. Call in at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on August the 10th. All right, everybody. Well, if that is that, I hope you have enjoyed. I hope this has been encouraging and everybody has enjoyed it and we have something to look forward to. And on that note, you guys have a wonderful rest of your week. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Good night.
Shalom.